Blog Talk Radio.
We've had some fun.
Welcome to The Matthew Aaron Show. I'm Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook, and this day couldn't go any worse. I don't even know if you're going to hear Steve. We may not even have a co-host. You may have to hear me for 30 minutes. So, Steve, go ahead. Try to talk.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can anyone hear me? Oh, fuck.
No one can hear you.
Fuck.
No one can hear you.
Wow.
You are unaudible. So this is going to mean me yapping for 30 minutes. And no one's home across the street, Alex?
I'm trying to get a hold of Joe.
No, of course not.
Here's
the situation. The power went out at my house. We just need a wire.
Just a wire.
The power went out at my house. And we're doing a little remote here. I had to, like, rush to someone else's house to do this show because that's how much I love Rocky Rubes. Rock Rubin is our guest tonight. He is the executive producer and has written around 30 episodes of The King of Queens. And he wrote the new hit movie Zookeeper with Kevin James. And he's writing a new Kevin James movie about the UFC, a comedy called Here Comes the Boom, which is filming now, I believe. So here we are. And I am definitely doing a show by myself.
This sucks.
Yeah, I'm glad that worked. This sucks.
This sucks.
You know, and like the problem is I can't even look at it. Here, hold the mic. I'm going to look at the... No, hold the mic. Talk into it.
Yeah.
Talk.
I am talking at the moment. And
it's this, working real well.
This is really working well. This is great. This is great.
Well, this is why you don't get cats.
Ay-ay-ay. Wow.
This is good.
I love how I'm talking to you like it's going to do any good.
It might.
What a world we live in here. Well.
Wow.
You know what I could do? Oh, let's see if Charles is home.
Oh, yeah. Call someone. Wow.
You can talk. Try.
Yeah, this is not working in the least.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm going to kill that fucking cat.
Yeah, punt it, please.
Hello.
Chuck.
Matthew.
You're doing a show with me on the phone because it's been a disaster today.
Oh, has it? Why has it been a disaster?
The electricity's out at my house. Steve actually brought the bad wire because we couldn't see. The power's out. It's dark. So he brought the bad cord from the other day. So Steve doesn't have a cord. And I'm doing the show by myself.
Oh, hey, hang on. Someone wants to say hello to you.
Oh, God.
Hello, Matthew.
Who's yapping? Who's this?
Who's yapping? You're doing your podcast?
I'm doing my podcast right now. You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
I heard you were hanging out with some hookers the other day.
Oh, this has to be Kubicki. Is this Kubicki or
nope,
Slack?
Nope, not Kubicki. Wrong.
Slack?
Oh, this is Slack.
All right, Ed. Listen, they weren't hookers, first of all. They were romantic film actresses. And
they were what?
Romantic film actresses. They do
romantic film actresses.
Yes. You know what that is?
Okay. I do know what that is.
Okay. Hold on 1 second.
I know what that is.
I do have a solution.
Why don't you guys just go to my house and get a wire?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Here, but you're going to need my key.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take my... Don't take my car, though. It's out of gas.
Hello?
Car and use my key.
Yeah.
Works. Chuck, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Ed got confused, so he gave me the phone back.
Now I'm all by myself at Luisi's house doing a show. This is a disaster. Vito's coming? Not while I'm here. No! Hurry up! Hurry up!
Did you get my audio clips?
I don't want Vito to shoot me. Yeah, I love the audio clips. They were fantastic.
Well, I'm walking into the Bellagio right now.
Oh, you're in Vegas now?
I'm in Vegas right now.
I thought you weren't going until Tuesday.
But today's Wednesday, Matt.
Oh, wow. Is it? Okay, it's Wednesday. Thank God I got a drink here. You know, this is the first show where I'm drinking and doing the show, so be prepared, people.
Oh, this is going to be a great show.
Lenny's on his way, and so's Terzo.
Oh, so it'll be a bad show.
Don't say that. It's terrible. Oh, what am I going to do? Chuck, you got to stay on the line until Rock Rubin's on. 20 minutes. Give me something. Rock Rubin is my guest today. Rock Rubin, co-wrote...
I'm not staying on the phone with you for 20 minutes.
No, 20 minutes. That's all I'm asking for.
Oh, all right. Wait, we're stopping to take a picture of a big bell in the Bellagio lobby.
Okay, well, see, this is something we could talk about. Who's in the Bellagio lobby?
Yeah, well, I got to take a picture of Ed and his wife. Hang on.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, I can still talk.
I forgot they're married. You got no comment to that?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I said I forgot they're married.
Yes, Ed's married.
Another wedding I wasn't invited to.
Yeah, no, you weren't invited to this wedding either. That's two of my friends that you know that didn't invite you to their wedding.
Yeah, I don't get invited.
To bring you as a date.
No.
Oh, see, I was supposed to be your plus one, asshole. Hello, Chuck. Are you alive?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I didn't want to bring you. I didn't want to bring my heterosexual life mite, as Jay likes to call you. Jay
life
told me I couldn't bring you to this wedding.
Oh, did he say I couldn't?
He said if I brought, he goes, if you bring Matthew or Aaron to Vegas, you are not invited to my wedding.
Wow, it's Jay's wedding.
Yeah, Jay's getting married tomorrow.
I didn't know it's Jay's wedding in Vegas. You kept this on
the
DL.
I told you, you don't pay attention to me.
No, you kept this on the DL from me.
That's exactly the kind of fight a couple has.
How would you shut up, Ed?
Ed sucks. Hey, why don't you ask Ed where his homosexual life mate, Tony Farinella, is?
Hey, Ed, Matt wants to know where your homosexual life mate, Tony Farrah Fuckface, is.
Tony Farrah Fuckface?
He just said, Ed said they broke up. You don't talk to him anymore.
Oh, well, that's cute. Oh, 18 minutes.
It's going to be a long time.
Oh, my God. So the power goes out at my house. I got no power, even though it's 80 degrees here and clear as the blue sky gets.
No, we got to find our way to the casino. It should be around there.
What casino are you going to? I'll tell you where it is.
We're looking for the buffet at the Bellagio.
Oh, simple. Buffet at the Bellagio. You're going to want to walk in the front doors. You walk to the right. You walk down the hallway a little. It's going to be on your left. It's a good
I'll
buffet.
Take it. You're not even centering it.
I just told you where the damn buffet is. You're talking to
not
other
not you. I'm trying to get three different conversations. You stop yelling at me, Laura. I'll pick up the phone on your stupid podcast.
What was that? I didn't even hear it.
No one listens to this, Chris. His uncle who hates them listens.
Hey, you know what? We have 2,000 listeners average a show, so calm down.
Anal beads. Oh, that's great. He has 2,000 listeners a show, which means 2,000 listeners have listened to my sexual escapades, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So Matt says we walk in the front door, we turn to our right, we go down the hall, and that's where the buffet is.
No, you turn left.
Turn left, my fault. Yeah, but I don't think we walk. Oh, no, we did walk in the front door. So turn left somewhere.
Oh,
Jesus. That would be left, yeah.
Oh, God.
Now that's the parking garage. We don't want to go there.
Oh, my God. You didn't walk in the front door if you're by the parking garage.
No, I don't think we did. We just walked in the door.
Then you're going to want to take a right and then take a left.
All right, hang on. I'm on picture duty again.
Oy vey. Is this going to be the first 30 minutes of my show? You on picture duty?
Yep. Ooh, it didn't come in. The flash was too bright.
Now I know why Howard Stern can't do a show alone.
Back.
What's going to happen when Vito walks in the house and shoots me because he doesn't know why I'm here?
Who's Vito?
Alex's dad. I'm all by myself in someone else's house. Yeah, good story, Chuck. Thanks.
I'm trying to call you Ed. I'm trying to have two conversations at the same time.
Ed is probably this way.
Have you banged any broads out there yet?
I just got to Vegas 2 hours ago. No, I haven't had sex yet.
Well, did anything happen on the trip over?
Yeah, I sat in front of a 5-month-old baby that cried the entire time. And in back of me was a 4-year-old who was kicking my feet the entire time.
Where are the boys, Mikey? They're there right now. Oy vey. What a disaster my life is.
We know. We listen.
Why am I listening? What am I listening to? What am I listening to?
I said we listen to your show. We know your life is ridiculous.
Okay. You know what, Chuck? Why'd I call you? You got no stories for me. I got no call.
Man, I'm in the middle of Vegas. What do you want me to tell you?
I feel like I am on a raft in the middle of the ocean all by myself.
You know, you're not providing any quality entertainment right now either.
Well, I'm trying.
So am I, but I'm trying to have like three conversations and try to find my way around this casino.
Oh, I'm getting drunk tonight.
Good luck. I am too.
Yeah.
And hopefully, maybe. Are you doing a show tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm doing a show tomorrow. I got on.
Oh, wait, no. I won't be able to call you around now this time tomorrow because that's when the wedding is going to be going on.
Perfect. Call me during the wedding.
Call you during the. I don't think Jay would like that.
One bread, one body. I could do up wedding songs. One love.
He goes, call me during the wedding, and he starts singing One Bread, One Body.
One cup of blessing, which we bless.
Oh, my goodness.
And we know many throughout the earth. Well, I can do the Our Father, too. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
His wife is questioning me because I don't remember what song was playing during their wedding. But I also don't remember because... I don't remember because the circulation was cut off to my legs, and I almost passed out.
It was probably Stuck With You by Huey Lewis, because that's how it feels.
I'm not repeating that.
Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Oh, thank God they're here.
Okay. That was a slow 20 minutes.
A cord. Power's back on. Of course, power's back on. Oh, well, fucking course.
All right, Matthew. Love your show. I got to go.
No, wait. Chuck, Charles. Charles!
What?
Don't leave me yet. Hold my hand.
I'm not holding your hand, you goof. I'm in Vegas.
Plug it in! And don't unplug me. Oh, my God.
I should have answered the phone.
I know. You should never answer the phone when I call.
Oh, the buffet.
You found the buffet where I told you, right?
Actually, it was to the right, not to the left.
I told you.
Of course, there's a line to get in.
First of all, it is the left if you walk in the front door.
Oh, well, then I don't think we walked in the front door.
How we doing?
Yeah, oh, thank God.
Am I there?
Turn down somebody. Talk, Steve.
Yo.
Tell a story.
Well,
do a dance.
Let me tell you some stories.
Chuck, now you can go. Bye-bye.
Oh, all right. Go.
Let me tell you about today. It blew more than freshman girls in college. That's how much today blew.
Okay, oh, all right, okay. We're good now.
We're good.
What did we do with that other cord? What did you do with it?
Oh,
you
I don't fucking remember. Yeah, we probably...
Oh, it's right here.
It's
probably
right
on
there.
The floor. You didn't even take it with you.
No, I don't give a shit about the useless cord.
Yes, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's true.
This is an acapella moment.
We have 12 minutes till Rock Rubin comes
on. I know.
Down.
I'm like a girl seeing the Beatles right now.
Yeah, tell me why you like Rock Rubin. At least talk to me about something. Tarzo, where are you going? Oh, fuck. Oh, you're fat.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want nothing.
We had Panda Express. Oh,
yeah. Oh, I'll call you from, call in from Petty.
Here's what I have to mention to everybody. The show's not even on 10 minutes, and you got power. I looked at the clock. See, Terzo. No, I looked at the clock. Quarter till 9, and that power's back on. Such is the luck. Rocky Rube, well, you know, he King of Queens writer. That show.
Who's fucking with me today?
Oh, God, everyone.
What did I do?
I have no idea.
What did I do?
You're associated with me. That's enough.
What are you doing, Mikey? You're staring over my fucking shoulder looking at my Facebook. You want to see?
Oh, man.
Here's me talking to all my boyfriends. Here's me talking to all my girlfriends.
Oh, boy.
Huh?
All right.
Okay, so that means 10:30.
Right.
Hey, someone call Lenny and find out where the fuck he is, too.
He got lost.
Because if the Titanic's going down tonight,
he's coming on it. Oh, yeah. So,
Rock
Rubin.
Yeah, tell me about Rocky Rubin, because we'll talk more about it next week when we're talking about Mikey Whitehorn, but I know King of Queens had a pretty, sadly, powerful effect on both of our lives.
It did. You know why? It made, well, for me, You know, I was one of those schleps who was under the delusion I could
still are.
Yeah, that I could score a hot chick. That's fantasy land.
Still is.
Still is. Oh, until I die. But you know what? If Kevin James can do it, all of us fat boys can.
Kevin James has a. I love Kevin James. Good for you, KJ.
I do, too. And his real wife. His wife in real.
I know. Gee. I was going to go there, but I'm not going to go there.
She is one hot Amazonian.
Well, whatever. I just want to see who he was dating before King of Queens.
So you're saying it might not have been an Amazonian?
I'm just saying.
Might have looked like Ricky Lake?
No. Is that how she got the role in the first season?
Well, you might. Who knows? I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with Ricky Lake. She's a doll.
Well, yes. Well, I'm just saying, you know. They might have looked...
A cabbage patch doll, but a doll, nonetheless.
Well, they look like they'd go better together, don't you think?
Yeah, like Roseanne and Dan Connor.
Oh.
What?
Poor Dan Connor.
Oh.
Of all of them.
Now that I got a half a drink in me, I'm feeling a little better.
Yeah, how
I'm
is
I'm calming
that?
Down
how
a little
is,
bit.
Yeah, well, you know, it's your pacifier.
My cat's going to get her ass kicked. I don't agree with beating animals, and I love my cat more than anything.
Yeah.
But she chewed up one of my mic wires.
Well, you know.
And that's an ass beating in the making.
Just
good
don't,
thing electrical tape can solve
I
these
would,
problems.
Electrical tape will help. Don't let Sarah McLachlan find
Wait,
out.
Wait, you're saying electrical tape will help or electrical tape will fix it?
I can't say fix. I will not guarantee you fix.
But it does help.
It does help, yeah.
A lot? A little?
A lot. Oh, it... To the point where it'll actually function. It will function.
Well, basically, the reason it doesn't function is because the wires are open a little bit. And they're not open a lot, but they're open a little bit where the air
right.
is getting in and you're not allowed.
Your tape
yeah.
your tape will do the job.
Okay.
It'll do all right. Just don't.
Duct tape? Or it has to be electrical?
Oh, I would go electrical. Don't risk ducts.
Don't risk ducts.
Yeah, you only want to use duct tape on ducks.
Oh, now this has turned into home improvement.
Uh-oh, we owe Tim Allen some money. Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord. I just can't believe... Why do I do this fucking show? Like, what am I doing?
What are you doing with your life?
Oh, my God. Now who's here?
What am
Someone
I
Someone just snuck up.
Oh, no. There's no sneaking up.
Oh, that looks like Kanata. I saw his big shadow in the mirror.
Oh, like Alfred Hitchcock over there. Good evening. I love how you're...
It is, Glenn. I could tell from the big shadow
from
in
the
window.
From Alfred Hitchcock.
I literally
shadow.
Saw Alfred Hitchcock in the window.
Good evening.
Did you go to Teddy's, too? That's where Terzo and Alex just went.
Yeah, well,
Boy,
yeah.
Teddy's is getting all the plugs here today.
Teddy's...
Best beef around
best
Chicago.
Beef. Best Chicago beef. Teddy's, whatever they call it, Teddy's.
So, I have no power. Now I do have power, by the way, of course, at my house. My house now has power. My cat ate one of the wires. Oh, fuck the cat. My wire's dead.
Yeah, the wire's done.
I have to tape it up with electrical tape.
I will say there's a quarter mile stretch of road that me and Luisi drove down. He made it up to 60. I was impressed.
He's going 63 blocks to my house?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
It was like an amusement ride. It was great. I had a good time.
Oh, I am sweating now. I'm like... And tell Luisi to turn on the air in this fucker.
Again, you should call him like before. We did that last show.
Oh, and Len, I heard Vito's coming over.
Vito.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh.
How many Vitos you know?
Only one.
I was going to say, probably 50.
I was just saying.
Yeah, I called your cousin Vito to come on by.
In the Cannata family, there's like 8 Vitos. So.
Is there what? Only at my house.
Only at his house.
There is booze. I'm drinking right now. Yeah, booze
well,
is fine. I'm drinking booze.
Have a diet beer or whatever. I don't know what to tell you.
Boy, I bet everyone's really entertained by this show right now.
They
We're barking
be.
Out drink orders and talking about my cat.
I hear they...
Chuck and I had a riveting conversation from being in Vegas. Chuck's in Vegas right now.
I hear that they're using this show right now to help insomnia patients at the moment.
Why is it once a month someone from our group has to be in Vegas?
Well, Chuck's at a wedding, isn't he?
Yeah, but once a month, it seems like someone from our group is in Vegas.
That's true. Except for
except
me.
You.
Except for me.
Yeah, you're the home base guy.
I am the home base.
There's different levels of going out in our team.
Right.
And there's Pat Tobias, who's a hermit.
Right.
And then there's Steve Weirich, who's a little above a hermit, but a little below going to any other state outside Indiana.
Well, right. They don't allow me in other states. I'm such a jackass. That
well,
don't.
That and they saw you on that Chris Hansen show.
Oh, would you stop? He got caught, by the way.
Yeah, he got caught with you, I heard.
Oh, I don't think so.
That's what I heard. I heard Chris Hansen and you went to Chris Hansen's wife's,
you
and the wife
wagon.
Was like, why don't you two take a seat?
Have a seat.
Have a seat, you two.
Well, you know what? No one.
Chris, what's with the Bacardi Limon with you and Steve?
And they said that no one would believe I would normally carry condoms with me, so that was, Jig was up there.
No, Jig wasn't up because it's the other way around.
Oh!
Hansen's banging you.
Oh, that's terrible.
This is all allegedly, by the way.
All allegedly.
So if Chris Hansen's listening.
He'll tell you to have
go,
a seat.
Go ahead, Chris, sue me.
He might.
Sue me. See what you're going to get out of it.
Not even, well, you know.
He's going to win a big money settlement, and I'm going to send him an envelope full of pube hairs.
yeah. Suing you is like playing Press Your Luck, and all you get is whammies.
Whammy, whammy, whammy.
All you get is whammies. I made a Press Your Luck reference. That's awful.
I do like some PYL. I have it on my phone. I play it all the time.
Wow. I didn't know.
I bet you're a little jealous.
I am very jealous.
I have Press Your Luck, Family Feud.
What?
And I also have Price is Right on my iPad thing.
Oh, the iPad.
Huh? Yeah, in like 4 minutes with Rock Rubin.
Rock Rubin.
Executive producer of King of Queens. Maybe you heard of it.
Also,
co-writer of The Zookeeper.
21 mil.
Oh, come on, Lenny. Like, you don't want to see it. Oh, does it got tomatoes on it? What are you going to do with the
Oh, boy.
He eats those tomatoes like they're good.
Like,
no,
God.
They're awful. They don't look ripe. I'll tell you that much.
You're telling
do you
me?
At least got sport peppers on those?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. That dog looks legit, though. Did you get the bun grilled? Pretzel bun?
Oh,
you fat fuck. That's a whole new level of fat. When hot dogs weren't fatty enough, and people are like, you know what? Let's throw some pretzel
in
there.
Don't worry. He's balancing his healthy diet with water. Keeping that girlish figure.
Yeah, how come you're not drinking? You don't drink on the weekdays anymore. Is that true?
He's responsible.
He doesn't drink on the weekdays no more.
He's no degenerate.
I tell Len to get on Steve's mic, but he's got a mouthful of pretzels and hot dogs.
You're going
to
get pretzel all over the mixing board here. All over.
Oh. So do I play a song to bring in Rocky Rubes, or do we just wait for Rocky Rubes? I'll wait for Rocky Rubes. But I want to smoke a pack of smokes right now. I'm so stressed.
Why don't we just, like, hook them up to your veins directly? Just get the nicotine going.
Oh, you're one to talk about it. He's one to talk. The Stefano's convinced he's worse than me when it comes to smoking.
Wow. So should we call the two of you Smokestack 1 and Smokestack 2? Or is that what we...
Marlboro and Marlboro Light.
Yeah, the both of you could be on
the... If I was black, I'd be Marlboro Menthol. I'd be cool.
Oh, you'd be cool.
I'd be cool.
No, or how about Pall Malls? Is that what the kids smoke?
No, if I was Mexican, I'd be Mavericks.
Mavericks, right. get me some Mavericks.
Oh, no, that's actually hick. That's like hillbilly smokes.
Hick. It is.
Mexicans are too good for Mavericks. It's the fucking white trash hillbillies down south that smoke that shit.
You know, I rarely remember selling cigarettes to Mexicans. I didn't notice too many of them buying them.
I knew a guy I worked with at my dad's work who's gay. I won't mention names. He is gay.
Don't you name names.
Oh. Out of the closet. And he would smoke the generic version of Virginia Slims 120s.
Oh, they have a generic.
But there's like a generic version. And I tasted one once. At first, it tastes like air. Then it tastes like someone opened your mouth and took a crap.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful. And it's misleading. Wait, you got a dog, a pretzel dog, and a wet beef with mozzarella? The fresh mutz, or the, as Chaz would say, the fresh mutz, the fresh mutz.
He's a growing boy. Let him eat his meat.
Hey, by the way, I got so many emails today saying they loved that clip of Lenny
on
Steve's video. I told Steve last second, I'm like, can you do something for me? Because he was ready to post it. Yeah. And I'm like, he sounds like the Chris Farley show.
That's right.
So Steve goes, I'll see what I can do. So he found video. And I'm like, all right, somehow we got to get this picture in here. So we put the picture up over McCartney. And then we have Lenny acting like Chris Farley. It was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. That was, yeah.
Because it goes along good with the audio, because it's Lenny going, you're awesome, Chaz.
It does.
You're awesome.
It does. He goes, and you stuck around for all of us.
Classic. That was cool.
You remember the time you stuck around and took pictures? You remember that?
Yes, fucking awesome.
Best man.
You're doing a good job with those videos, Steve.
Oh,
I'm getting a couple. Yeah, I'm getting a couple compliments left and right about those.
Well... Yeah, just the interviews. Just the interviews.
Well, we're going to get to Best Of and stuff at some point. And that's the YouTube channel, by the way, which is...
It's the Matthew Aaron Show.
Yeah, what the fuck is it?
It's the Matthew Aaron Show.
Okay, the Matthew Aaron Show on YouTube.
.com.
I can't believe I forgot the name. It's the name of my fucking show.
That's all right. You could have guessed. You could have guessed and you would have had it right.
Was they from the air on last time?
Yes.
Yeah, it was nice.
Dad came down and opened the vents that weren't open, too.
Then he started, like, doing laps around the basement.
Look, it was hot.
It was all right.
Someone needed to make the call.
Game day decision over here. I love how you called in from the show. That was pretty good. Ma, the air conditioning.
I love how she didn't get enough air time, though, so she called back. She goes, am I on the show? Yes, air is in town. She'll be at the show tomorrow, I'm sure. Yeah, you can see her and the dog named Pepper tomorrow, not the chili pepper.
You can now rest easy.
Well, I'm not going to – Lenny wasn't, like, off base because him and Terzo wear the horns, the Italian horns, you know.
Right.
And numerous people will say it's a chili pepper.
Oh, no.
And are you licking the bag that your Italian beef came in? If I ever seen anything fatter.
Oh, my God. Wait, you know, you should just wring it out in your mouth. That would be easier.
I hope there's mutts on that, though. With some hot peppers or sweet? Yeah.
You know,
the good stuff.
You could, like, get off to this. It sounds like you're about in the mood.
Well, first he started by licking the fucking Italian beef bag. That turned me on
a little.
Well,
yeah, he tongue-fucked the old bag over there. That was great.
Tongue-fucked?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, we're doing play-by-play of Lenny eating.
Marshall. I'm no Chris Berman. I'm sorry.
Well, we're waiting on Rocky Rubes here. Hopefully he's making the... You know, I should...
Did he write all the episodes?
No, he did not write them all. He wrote a lot, though. He wrote the fat ones.
Oh, by the way, I do need to have Lenny on in a little bit, Steve, because we need to talk about this Andrew Blumenthal situation.
Oh, that's right. That is right.
Well, why not? We got questions, you know.
Yeah.
We got shit we need to talk about.
People
want to
know.
Oh, man. I hope Brock didn't forget to call in, though.
Oh, that would be, well, that'd be awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know.
Oh.
It happens. Oh, come on.
It is Wednesday night, too,
right? It is Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah, I'm making sure.
yeah.
Well, it's a party night.
It's a party night.
In the Kevin James circles.
It is.
Yeah, but yes. Aren't you pumped? Okay, so I get an email today. I'll talk about it with you first, Steve.
Right.
Andrew Blumenthal, who's basically Hillary Clinton's right hand. Don't you worry about it. We may happen to be Facebook pals.
All goes back to the book.
How do I know him? I stalked him. I told him I like his work. And we chatted it up a bit.
Look,
he is the division chief of the State Department. There is no division. He's the division chief. Was that a trick question? Yeah, IT, passports, all those kind of things. Absolutely. But also, they do a little thing with the overseas.
Right. No, wait.
They're all involved in that.
Does Lenny know about your new friend on the old book?
Which one?
Goes to Columbia.
Oh, John Gotti III. Yeah. I told him yesterday.
I was going to say. He's
moved,
in the city.
He moved here to get his music producing degree at Columbia.
So he can do
the only school that would accept him.
Yeah.
He found me.
It
and wrote
weird.
On my wall.
He's doing the hibbity-bibbity on the old Columbia College.
I shouldn't
college.
Have accepted him.
Why not?
I don't know. I just feel like this could lead to nothing good. It could lead. It's all trouble, right, at this point? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So now if I get shot, it's not on the air. No one will find
me. And
it
won't. Yeah. It would only matter if you got shot on the air. Otherwise.
No, he seems like a nice guy. I'm just teasing, but, you know. He's got to be close to our age. He's got to be up there.
Did you listen to his music?
Because
I know he is.
No. Can't say I have. But, hey, who knows? Maybe it's like Gary Sinise. Maybe it's surprisingly good.
And if only
you want to go work out?
What?
Yeah, I'd want to go work out, too, after a pound and a half of beef and pretzel.
Oh, my God. Now might not be the best time to work out. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Man. Still waiting on the Reuben. See, some people leave us late, but you know who was on time?
Who was on
time? Denise was a minute early.
Yeah.
Chaz Palminteri was 2 minutes early.
This is Chaz Palminteri. That was great.
This is Chaz Palminteri. Yeah, no, yeah. Actors are on time. Writers aren't. There you go, Steve.
I disagree. Actors fashionably late.
Oh, I usually am. You know, someone asked me to do a commercial today, by the way.
Tell us about it, this commercial.
So somebody is doing a commercial, and they want me to, like, be the spokesperson for it. And it's for a miniature golf course in Bolingbrook.
I was going to guess birth control.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, if it pays, take it. Speak away.
Oh, no, because that's one of those things you see on Conan, like, 5 years from now when you actually do Conan. They're like, we got your first commercial.
So?
And it's me with some clown hat on going, yeah, come to Winderland Golf Course.
You're doing
whee! It. And then I sound like Waluigi all of a sudden.
Oh, no.
Waluigi.
Put some green overalls on you. You got it.
Oh, fuck me. What a...
No, he's more of the short fat
one. Oh, he's Mario? Oh, poor Mario.
Breaking news, says Cesar Marconi. Walked out of the deficit talks.
Lenny,
well,
what are you doing?
I would
here?
Talk about Obama walking out of the deficit talks, but politics is lose-lose.
Lenny.
Love you, Caesar. Just kidding.
Lenny over here is,
Oh, Andrew Blumenthal's on now. Hopefully he's not listening to the show.
He might be. He might be.
What are you doing? Are you going to have a smoke without me? Don't you worry about how I find people, Lenny. I know how to network. I know how to connect.
I'm
a connector.
You learn that in the school?
Yeah, what state secrets did you sell to become his friend?
Oh, it gets better. Ronald Kessler in Secrets of the FBI, he's hopefully coming on in August. And he used to be very high up at the FBI and has all the good detail, all the gossip.
Speaking of people you want on the show, how much of that Janet Reitman book have you read?
Ooh, let me tell you something.
I want to hear your opinion.
Janet Reitman, the book is Inside Scientology. You have to read it. The first, I'd say I'm like a sixth of the way through the book. It's 400 plus.
Wow. Yeah. What are we?
It's an exposé. It's not biased. It's not shitting all over Scientologists. It is giving you a blow-by-blow account of what goes on over there, and you could judge it any way you want to judge it. But I must say, the way I judge it is some of these people are loony as a tune.
The six pages I read.
Look behind you, Steve.
Oh, I don't
know. If
you
want to be really scared.
No, I'd rather
just
not.
Take a look.
Oh.
Just take a look.
Oh, God.
How would you like that in your child's window before they go to sleep?
He looks like Herbert the pervert blew up.
Yeah,
good
someone's
Lord.
Outside pretending to jerk off into the window. I'll give you a clue who it is.
Speaking of jerking off, I read that part of that Scientology book by Janet Reitman.
How'd you feel about it?
Oh, let me tell you something. The only positive I could say is at least they're honest about taking money from people. At least they're just blatant about it. Other than that, it's pretty awful. They just want money.
Where's Rocky Rubin? You know what, though? I like when guests don't call in, because then they're going to feel bad, and then they're going to owe me a favor.
That's true.
And my favors aren't cheap, Holmes.
No, they're not with you.
No. You owe me a favor, you never want to owe me a favor.
Never.
Because my return favor will be 100 times what I did for you.
That's why I never like you doing anything nice for me.
Right. I will ask you to climb the Sears Tower with plungers.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And because I have to film it, which really I don't have to do any of that, but I will have you do it because you owe me.
Yeah, that's a bad situation to get in.
I wish I could have a smoke so bad.
That'd be nice if you could. But
I know, but we're inside the Luisi compound. And
you mean to tell me you can't just light up in here? Is that the rule?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Rumor is Caesar said he just lost the show. Oh, who cares at this point? We're off the air.
Oh, we are?
All right, let's see if we're back on the air now.
You sound like Jay Sherman sometimes. You just don't.
Hey.
You're just like, hello.
Hello.
It's coming attractions. Oh,
well,
man.
This could be the worst show we have ever done. Ever. Ever.
Well, it started out really well. I mean.
Oh, no, we didn't have a shot.
No, it started.
We didn't have a shot.
If the Bundy family ever did a show, it probably would turn out like this. I mean, this is...
Well, Caesar says we're not in the air. I don't know if that's necessarily true. It says we are.
Well, then we got to go off of Blog Talk, if that's what they're telling us. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be funny if we're about to lose power?
Oh, God. Well, we can go to your house, pick on up and...
Yeah, I heard my power's back.
It's... Your power is back on, and it had to have gone on right like when the show started.
This is the worst show we've ever done. Our guest isn't even calling in. He forgot.
Yeah, and...
You know what's going to happen?
What's that?
I'm going to have to elbow drop Rock Rubin from the top rope.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy Savage style.
Set up a ring
real quick. Oh, man.
And go ahead and do
it. Should we play a song, just go to break, figure things out, hopefully come back and do the best hour in like 10 minutes ever?
Regroup.
How about we do a long song, too, so I can go have a smoke?
Play a song.
I won't let you down. I will not leave you alone.
Daryl, you're on.
Hi.
So the power's back on, huh? My show's a disaster because of all this shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who are you interviewing?
Well, Rock Rubin forgot to call in, so I don't know where he is.
Oh, then that's good. So, I mean, you know, all the bad stuff happens at once.
Oh, yeah, it sure does, because now you're calling in.
Well, it was music a second ago. I wasn't even talking.
I had to go have a cigarette. That's how stressed and pissed I am.
Oh, okay, so you don't want to come home and hang out, huh?
No, I'm going to stick around here for a while.
Oh, okay.
By the way, to a friend of the show, Armand DeSante, going through a rough time, God bless.
God bless who?
No, don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just calling to say hi. Power's on. There were two guys here, and they said the cat ate your cord.
How many times have you seen Steve? You know who Steve is. There's two guys here. You're the other guy.
I am the other guy.
You're the other guy to everybody.
And Luisi. Well, Luisi was there. I am the other guy to everybody.
Wait, but they said that the cat, the more important point is, they said that the cat ate your cord.
Yeah, she ate one of them.
How many cords, shoelaces, and bags does this cat have to ruin before we can put it down is the real question.
That's my baby, that cat.
Can't put her down.
No. And if anything, you should go pet her and tell her I love her.
Did you kick her or something?
No. I'm not going to kick her. I never touch her.
Okay. All right. Well, can I just listen to your show and not talk for a while? Because I'm making the bet, so I just want to listen. I don't know why you ever answer me. I never want to talk. The only person I wanted to talk to was Michael Ian Black, and he wouldn't let me talk to him.
Well, we like you calling in. It's nice. I don't answer for anyone else. How about that?
Oh, thanks. I hope all 15 and a half of your listeners are hearing this sibling love right now.
And
that we can all just take a quiet moment and think of how great our siblings are.
Who's the half listener? Is Corky from Life Goes On tuning in? They're
well,
full
Pepper's
people.
Peppers.
Oh, Pepper.
Pepper's
listening. Hi, Pepper. Hi,
Pepper.
Oh, Pepsi, Oh, my Pepsis. Oh, my pepperoni.
You can just come home and hang out with all of us.
I do.
Bring your man mob and, you know, just have some beer. This crystal dog thinks she can lay on my bed and shed. She can't. I'm about to whack her.
I almost took Pepper with me. Hold on. I got a phone call. I got to go.
All right. I'm going to listen, though. Bye.
Hello. You're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Matthew, it's Rock Rubin. How are you?
Hey, Rock,
you're on.
Rock, it's been the worst day of my life so far. So
I'm sorry, man. I read 9 p.m., and then I'm just looking at your email now to make sure, and I see 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Well, whatever. I'm a moron.
Those clocks, I tell you.
The power went out, and I was so nervous I wouldn't be able to talk to you that I rushed to someone else's house to do the show.
Then
my cat ate one of the microphone wires, and, of course, that's one of the ones we bring. So then they got to rush back and get – it's been the worst show ever. So now we're going to make it a little better.
Let's kick it up a notch.
Yes, a good man. Now, Rock, we have Michael Whitehorn next week. And I got to tell you, and I've told Michael this story before, King of Queens was a big deal for me because I was going through a very rough time. I was involved in things I shouldn't have been involved in. And part of the reason I cleaned up is King of Queens helped me remember what I wanted to do with my life, where I wanted to act and I wanted to do comedy and I wanted to write. And I just wanted to thank you because that show really did a lot for me as a person. So thank you.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was more Michael Whitehorn than me, but...
Yes. Well, hey, you wrote some very funny episodes of that show.
Thank you. Well, it was an important part of my life, too, because I had started in stand-up comedy with Kevin James and had done that, I guess, about 10 years on the road and living out of a suitcase and all that. And Kevin wanted me to come aboard and write, and Michael Whitehorn was awesome enough to take me on as a staff writer who had no real training as a writer other than joke writing, and you know, he taught me so much too about the business, and worked with a great, unbelievable cast, and the writers were great. So it was an awesome ride for me, and it changed my life as well. So we're in the same boat.
Yeah, well, my radio partner here, Steve, he is also a huge fan of the show, and Steve and I, we know a lot, Rock Rubin. Like when you had an episode, they're some of our favorites. Steve can talk to you about it. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Rock, how's it going?
It's going great.
I'm thrilled to talk to you. Let me tell you that first. One episode that I had to talk to you about was Flame Resistant.
Yep.
Because that makes me laugh like a little girl every time I watch it. I mean, between Gary Valentine doing the synth rock to the John Stamos-esque music video.
Come on, the Margie song. Oh.
Now, who wrote that song, by the way? Was that you, Rock?
It was a bit of a collaboration, but Kathy Yuspa and Josh Goldsmith, I don't know if you've had them on the show before.
Oh, no.
they were showrunners at one point, but they Josh Goldsmith had a big musical theater background, so he and Kathy Yuspa, who are a husband and wife team, writers, but have always been into music as well from his musical theater background. So they actually wrote the lyrics to the theme song to King of Queens.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And
knew that.
So
yeah.
It was sung and musically arranged by, I'm blanking on his name right now.
I was just singing the song to Steve. Sorry.
Billy Vera. I'm sorry. Billy Vera sang the song, and his band did the music, and then Yuspa and Goldsmith kind of banged out the lyrics.
They synth rocked there.
No, the synth rock part was the best.
I think the
IPS Follies. He's the head of the IPS Follies.
I have one other brief comment to make, and then I'll let Matt run with this. But I have to say, I went to Columbia College in Chicago for television writing and production, and in my sitcom writing class, I brought in Flame Resistant into class as an example of a really strong story, and we like totally picked that episode apart on, you know, story structure and how to write a really good episode of television. So I thought you'd like to know that.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, you probably know it better than I do, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, Rock, you're first of all, we need to get to that in a second, but Rock, your episodes are being used as educational tools. Did you ever think that would happen?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, come on. You got to be more nice to yourself.
Hey, he's no Sherwood Schwartz, okay?
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. We used to joke when we'd write episodes. You know, we'd be in the writer's room and we'd be, you know, arguing over, you know, what name to call a character. And someone would always say, hey, when the historians are looking back at King of Queens and analyzing it, and we did it sort of as a runner joke that we would be analyzed. But I guess you kind of are in a certain way. And at a certain point, it was sort of a popular show to use the spec scripts for and things like that. So I guess, in a sense, it is analyzed.
Now, Rock, where does the nickname Rock come from? Because I know it's Michael Rubin, but okay,
sure.
So Rock is a nickname. I'm assuming it's not your middle name.
No. I'll tell you the story. When I started in stand-up, I went on as Michael Rubin, and there was a ventriloquist named Mark Rubin, and there was another guy, I think Keith Rubin. And I think I was doing stand-up for about a year, and I got to open for Robert Klein, who was one of my heroes.
He's great.
Stand-up.
Great actor, too.
And so, yeah, so I got to work with him, and I was really nervous. And I meet him in the green room, and he was with a bunch of people, and so I introduced myself. And then he made his friends all kind of leave so he could get ready for a show, closed the door, and it was just he and I in the green room. And he said, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. And I said, Michael Rubin. And he goes, we got to change that. And I go, why? He goes, don't be a schmuck like me, is what he said. He goes, I'm Robert Klein. He goes, no one ever remembered my name. He said, when I used to work stand-up at the improv, I used to wear saddle shoes. And he said, and the only thing people remembered about me was I was the guy with saddle shoes. He said, I could hear it. He goes, as I would be walking to the stage, they'd say Robert Klein. They'd kind of politely clap. Then they'd see the saddle shoes and go, oh, my God, it's the guy with the saddle shoes. You know, this guy's great. So he kind of said, he goes, pick something, you know, outrageous. He goes, you know, Susan Johnson, do you know who she is? I said, I don't. He said, well, Whoopi Goldberg, do you know who she is? And I go, yeah, Whoopi Goldberg is Susan Johnson. So he gave me about 10 of those examples. And so I said, all right, I got to come up with something. And I was actually with Gary Valentine playing wiffle ball because we had a lot of free time in our stand-up days.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, there was a guy on the Yankees named Tim Raines.
Yes, Tim Raines, The Rock.
Exactly. So he was in the middle of legal battles with the baseball card company because he wanted his baseball card to say Rock Raines. And they said, no, you're Tim Raines, and we're not putting that on there. So he said, well, then you can't use me as a baseball card. So just from that little exchange, Gary said to me, you should just be Rock Rubin. So it was kind of, I think we talked about Mike Pickles and then Rock Rubin. Those were the only two we got.
You may have
made
the right choice. I'm going to have a problem calling another man Pickles.
Mike Pickles. That was my.
I don't know if I'd be talking to you right now if you were Mike Pickles.
So I'm on the phone with Mike Pickles, King of Queens writer.
So, Rock, I do have two questions for you since that was then and this is now. First of all, kind of so Matthew Aaron, is that a memorable name? Can we run that by Robert Klein? Am I going to be okay?
I'm gonna get in touch with Klein's people. Give me 48 hours.
Yes, sir.
And then my
second question was then – I think the landscape's kind of changing with comedy because Steve and I do stand-up full-time. Steve does stand-up sometimes as well. But I kind of get this feeling that – and I started doing the podcast because I kind of get this feeling with everything changing with technology and everything, you're basically going to get discovered many different ways now, not just doing the stand-up circuit. Like I know how Kevin was discovered – and you and Gary Valentine and everyone did the improv and the stand-up. Do you think that's true?
You know, I do. I think you're 100% right that you never know where it's going to come from. And the guy that pops into my head is, and I don't know him, but John LaJolie. Do you know him? John LaJolie?
Yeah, I know stand-up. He's a stand-up comedian, yeah.
But basically, he put some awesome music videos that he did, you know, comedic parodies on, you know, and I had seen them on YouTube, and everyone was passing them around, and the next thing you know, he's on, you know, sitcoms and, you know, sketch shows and all kinds of stuff, just right. Off of people seeing that and going, hey, this guy's funny. Let's, you know, however you get in front of people, you never, you know, you can never tell. It could be... You know, some guys were limo drivers for other guys, and they got in.
Yep.
You know, you never know where opportunities lie, and especially with the digital age and, you know, being able to do a podcast or, you know, being able to do blogging or whatever it is that can draw attention to you and get somebody to see you, it's a wide-open field right now.
Now, I know at the beginning of King of Queens run, it was kind of like Raymond where it was not the smoothest start. And then I've talked to Bruce Fretz is a friend of mine, and Bruce was always championing your show and Romano's show. And do you think Critical Favor really helped you guys? Because you guys got rave reviews for Everybody Loves Raymond, and you guys got rave reviews for King of Queens. Do you think that helped at all with CBS believing in you guys and then putting you in the right time slots?
You know, I don't know the whole backstory at CBS, but just what I've heard is, you know, Les Moonves at the time had taken a liking to Kevin and said, "We're gonna get behind this guy," you know, and you kind of need a champion like that. But at the end of the day, that's the guy that's going to keep you on or not keep you on.
Right.
Critical acclaim helps, but I think King of Queens is kind of a little bit mixed. There were people like Bruce who was probably, you know, one of the loudest advocates for the show and really helped a lot with his you know, comments and kind words. But there were also a lot of people that this guy's Kevin James, fat slob, who, you know, nobody wants to see a fat guy with a hot chick. You know, there were tons of those articles written as well. So You know, I think it was belief from the network that the show would work, and the show did solid enough numbers in the beginning to get 13 episodes out and then the full season, and then it kind of built from there. And people liked it. The people that tuned in were fans, so we were lucky.
Well, as we've learned on this show, the two biggest names in Hollywood are Les Moonves and Brad Grey, I would guess.
Oh, God, yes. Isn't that the truth?
As we've learned.
Yeah. Well, I remember at King of Queens, it was funny. There was the kickoff celebration in Pasadena. Some sort of a media where all the media comes. And CBS had put on this big dinner and drinks, and the media people were coming around interviewing people for all the CBS shows. And nobody knew who Kevin was, so Kevin, his manager, Jeff Sussman, and I had nothing to do. They were busy interviewing Fran Drescher and all the other CBS stars. So there was one of those football games that you throw the ball through a hole and it scores points, like a video game.
Right, right.
And so we spent, since nobody wanted to talk to Kevin at that time, we just spent the night in the corner throwing the football through the thing. And sure enough, Les Moonves comes over with Phil Sims and Marcus Allen, and we start a little game in the corner. And the next thing you know, everybody was surrounding this little football game, and as they were competing, Kevin against Phil Sims throwing footballs. And it kind of, all of a sudden, you know, Kevin got to know Les a little bit better, and all of a sudden, the media people were interested, like, who's this guy that Les is playing football with? And it was pretty cool. It was a cool night how it went from nobody knowing who Kevin was or that interested in him, and then we need to talk to this guy. So
now,
it was
Rock, what was your
like
what was your shit your pants moment for you when the show got picked up and you got asked to do it? Or is it a moment like that where you're playing football toss with Les Moonves? Like, what was the moment where you're like, I'm here? What the fuck?
You know, there was so many things that happened like that night that you can't believe that they're happening. For me, it was like, I remember Kevin and Leah were in a hotel room, and I didn't know Leah, and they had just shot the pilot. So Kevin kind of knew her, but they had to be interviewed in a hotel room. Literally every 5 minutes, a new reporter came in. And you could just tell they were having so much fun, Kevin and Leah, laughing and making the reporters laugh. And the chemistry between them was just so clear. And I kind of think that's when I said, oh, my God, these guys are pretty good together. And then we knew, throw Jerry Stiller into the mix.
Oh, wow.
It just felt like the weapons were there, you know.
Now, wasn't Jerry Stiller a last-second thing, though, Rock? Wasn't he he originally wasn't cast in that role, and then you guys reshot the pilot. Isn't that true?
Sort of. He was the one that they wanted to do the pilot. He was coming off of Seinfeld. And Jerry, you know, was in his, I guess, mid-60s at that time. And he just didn't feel like, you know, he went from his kind of his biggest individual success being on Seinfeld. And I think he just wanted to just kind of work but not have to do a weekly series. So he kind of said no, and the pilot was shot with another actor. And then I guess Les Moonves saw it and said, I think, you know, I want to see Jerry Stiller do it. And Kevin called Jerry and said, you know, is there any chance you would do this? You know, I really want you on the show. And Jerry appreciated Kevin asking him and telling him how much it would mean to have him. And so I think we shot like two scenes with Jerry and inserted those in the pilot. That got tested and kind of passed around to advertisers and stuff. So it was a weird thing. There was like a half pilot with Jerry Stiller. And everybody loved the chemistry with Jerry and Leah, and the show went. They made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Now, Rock, the show ends, and I noticed there is a gap between your work then. Were you working on other pilots? Were you working on film scripts? Were you just kind of like taking a break? What was going on during the time period of King of Queens and Zookeeper?
You know, it's funny because things get put on like IMDb that you did.
Right.
And then if another project has a similar title or the same title or somebody else reworks on it, it gets taken away from you. So I had written right after King of Queens, I did I did a movie called Field Trip with a guy named Mike Socio who wrote on the show. That never went anywhere, but we wrote it and we sold it. We did it with Neil Moritz's company,
okay.
Original Films.
Yeah.
And then after that, I wrote another thing with Socio called Trophy Husbands, a movie, which subsequently somebody else has come out with a movie called Trophy Husbands that's apparently different. but again, you know, a lot of these things you write don't get made. You know, it's got to be a combination of a good script, getting the right actors, getting the studio interested. You know, a lot of these projects kind of have a little bit of momentum and then kind of peter out. And then years later can come back and get hot again if somebody finds the project. So I did a movie called Trophy Husbands, and I did a pilot with Cedric the Entertainer.
Okay.
And then there was a little thing, writer strike, mixed in there, so that kind of slowed things down for everybody. And then I did Zookeeper, a movie called Here Comes the Boom. We just finished shooting with Kevin.
Yep.
I did another pilot for TBS that didn't get shot called Game of Life. And, so I've done things that maybe haven't gotten on the air or things like that, but that's sort of, sort of the norm, you know, that you get some shots.
So how do you get involved in Zookeeper then? Do you just call up Kevin, or who has the idea and calls you up? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, Kevin and I have been friends for a long time, and, you know, whenever he does something, you know, if possible, he'll call me, or even if I don't work on it, I'll help him out, and vice versa. So Zookeeper was an idea that there was a script out there, and he liked the idea, but it just didn't feel like the version that he wanted to do. So he hired myself and Nick Bakai to write with him, and we sort of changed it into what Kevin's vision of that movie was. And that was a long process. That you know, we wrote for about a year on it before shooting it, and then because it's computer-generated images, we wrote a lot in post, for the animal stuff. So it was pretty much about a year and a half, I'd say, I worked on that with him. And then we did, you know, we have a couple other projects we've been working on. This one we just finished, a couple others we're trying to get going. So, you know, if he needs me, I'm there.
And Rock, Zookeeper, now that was a project that was in limbo for a little while too, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was in limbo. It was a project that Todd Garner, who produced Mall Cop, produced a bunch of different things with Kevin. It was his idea, and he mentioned it to Kevin, and Kevin was like, all right, well, I don't know, maybe, you know, kind of thing. So Todd had it written by these two writers, Sherrick and Ron. They wrote it, and they sold it to MGM for a lot of money. And then that's when Kevin came on board after that. So it was never really in limbo at any point that I know of.
Oh, okay, because I guess I was reading on Deadline.com this week, and they were talking about how MGM had it at one point, then they went bankrupt, and then it got picked up again, and it took a while to get made is what I was reading.
MGM has had problems for a while, So Kevin has done a lot of stuff with Sony and has a lot of friends over at Sony. So when MGM was kind of struggling to raise the money, Kevin said, well, I would love to bring, you know, Sony in and Happy Madison. And so MGM kind of needed the infusion of cash, and Sony was happy to be a part of something with Kevin and Adam. So it was kind of a smooth fit that way. The only limbo was when the movie tested about a year and a half ago, it tested really well with audiences. It got like a 94 score, which is really high.
Yeah.
So Sony decided that it was supposed to originally come out this past October. They decided to move it from October to this past weekend. More of a summer movie.
Now, I did want to say, and I don't know if you can talk about this, but Kevin seems to be doing a similar thing that Adam Sandler did, and it's something that I believe is very important, and he seems to have kind of a loyalty to people he's worked with and people that are his friends.
And I was wondering, is that how Kevin's always been? Did Kevin pick up anything from Adam Sandler in that regards of how he brings his friends on the projects and treats his friends and wants to work with the same people? And why do you think it is that Kevin and Adam like working with the same people all the time?
Well, I think Kevin's always kind of been that way. You know, if you look at the King of Queens, there's a lot of comedians. You probably wouldn't know them maybe being from Chicago, but that Kevin started out with in Long Island, guys that were our predecessors, you know, guys that gave us a boost, told us to go to this thing, they can get us up on this stage, that kind of thing. Kevin's always remembered all those guys. So, you know, throughout the years of King of Queens, a ton of them have done guest spots. And, you know, friends, whatever, whenever you know, when you're in this business, if you can help someone, we come from the school, as do I, Kevin, all of our, you know, there's room for everybody, you know, and if you can, people gave Kevin boosts, Kevin gave me a boost, I've given people a boost, it all works, it all comes back around to you, you know what I mean? It's like,
I agree.
You're not hurting yourself by helping people, you're just making it more of a fun ride. It feels good to help people, too,
well,
you know, when you're
working with friends. I want you guys to know you've set a good example because my mother's always bitching at me that I'll never make any money off this podcast because I have all my friends doing it. And I'm like, you know, you got to help out everybody. There's room for everybody. So yeah,
absolutely. And you know what? You know people who are funny. You know what I mean? You know people who make you laugh. You know what I mean? So if you're going to do something, let me put people that make me laugh that I know. You know, that I can have faith that will deliver on the show or whatever you're doing. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And, I just want you guys to know, I think you guys set a very good example by the way you guys do things, and I really appreciate it. It's taught me a lot.
Yeah, no, it's fun to see. And, you know, Adam's the king of it. And, you know, Kevin did it on a smaller scale. And then when he started to work with Sandler and he saw how Sandler sets things up, it's like, when you go to the set every day and you know a lot of people and then people that make you happy and it's fun to work with, it makes the whole set more positive and more, likely to succeed, I think, you know. So I think that's part of it, too. It takes time to get comfortable with people.
Definitely. Definitely, Rock. And actually, I gotta say thanks for that as well because you are the first person in this business who I've ever heard say you gotta help out your friends. Typically it's usually walked around, but I've never heard it until now, and so it's really admirable. And I actually had a question about Zookeeper. You said you did a lot of writing in post-production, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, how is that different, or how did that work out, I should say, how did that work out for you in post? Because I remember from my writing experience, I worked on a sketch show, and I always had producers and directors, you know, having me write before we went into production, so I had to write around things. Now that everything's been shot, how did that change the writing?
Well, it's interesting because it made us have the ability to kind of fix things that weren't working a little bit, you know,
right,
and tighten the storytelling a little bit, because we'd realized, you know, all we shot with the live animals is the actual animal just standing there basically chewing grass. You know what I mean? It's not doing anything.
Right.
So it's pretty dull to look at, but it's not animated yet, and we can make it say or do whatever we want in the scene. So we realized, you know, we would have a whole scene that maybe only had one little bit of information that we needed in it, and the scene wasn't funny, it wasn't working right. So we realized, hey, you know, we could cut this whole boring scene if the giraffe says this in the next scene. You know what I mean? So it allowed us to fix mistakes, if you will, and make things funnier.
Definitely, definitely. Because, like, as soon as I heard that, my mind was blown. I'm just like, wow, if I could write from post-production, you know, it would have been a lot different for me. And I actually had another question with regards to the whole writing process. And this is, I don't know if anyone's ever asked you this, but for all the writers out there, what shouldn't they do in a writer's room? You know, being a new writer or a writer's assistant, what are the things that really would make you mad or make you peeved in that aspect?
Well, I think, you know, when you're in a writer's room, in general, there's people of all different ranks, in other words, like experience levels, guys that have been doing it for 20 years, you know, and have the experience. And then you have, you know, down the ladder all the way to somebody, maybe it's their first day in a writer's room. And I think when you're on the bottom of that ladder and you're new, it's better to listen. And if you have gold, contribute it. But little is expected of you. You know what I mean? No one is expecting a new guy to carry the show on their back.
Right.
So the tendency for newer writers is to think, I got to go in there and pitch a million things.
Right. Or like,
hopefully they'll like me, you know, and sometimes that becomes, it slows the room down because you might not quite have a grasp on what they're looking for or, you know what I mean? It's like, it, sometimes it's better to just, you know, be seen.
Definitely.
And absorb the room and feel the flow of the room and, you know, not constantly stop it with ideas that may or may not be good ideas, you know?
Now, I got another how-to question for you, Rock. Okay, so I have been told that Steve and I got this great pilot we've written, and Cesar Marconi, we got this great pilot we've written. Bruce Fretz gave it a rave review, blah, blah, blah. So then I go to managers and agents, and what they tell me is, well, go get a showrunner and then come back to us. What's all the catch-22s with making your own show, getting your foot in the door? You know, how do these things – what are some tips, at least, where you can go about doing this? Because it's kind of a catch-22 when the agents and managers are like, oh, yeah, no, go get us a showrunner. It'll be a great show. And then the showrunners are like, go get an agent or a manager to pitch me the pilot.
It is tough sledding out there, no matter how you slice it. Even for even for veteran writers, it's tough times because the amount of jobs that are out there are just less. You know, so I think, you know, in general, unless you've worked in the business a little bit and been in writing rooms and know, you know, what's expected on a network level and a writing room level, you know, and dealt with all the pressures of a writing room and the dynamics of a writing room. A new writer off the street, I think networks are going to fear this guy just doesn't know how to do it. It's like an open micer in stand-up. They might have great stuff, but until they get on the stage and learn how to work a crowd and learn to deal with the lights and learn to,
right,
you know, all that goes into stand-up, it takes time, and it takes time for writers as well. Not that they don't have the raw talent, but they don't have the polished talent. So I think there's a fear on the network side of somebody off the streets with a great idea, you know, giving them the ball, giving them, you know, millions of dollars to, you know, essentially possibly screw up, you know what I mean? So they feel better knowing that there's somebody there chaperoning. So I think that's where the you know, the showrunner holding your hand kind of thing comes through.
Right.
And I've worked on, you know, shows for years and was still like going and pitching pilot ideas, and then they would say, well, we got to get a showrunner. You know, because even though I'd been in a room, I hadn't run a show.
So they
tell
you. And
it's a hard job. There's a lot that goes into it. It's almost more management than writer, you know.
But do you feel then the best way to get the best people involved is just by what is the best way to involve people through networking or people you don't really know and stuff like that? Is it just like happenstance? Do you because we were told by an executive from CBS who was on the show, he said the only way you're going to make it anywhere in this business is if you ask. You have to ask people for favors, and you can't be afraid to hear no, and you can't be afraid that they're going to be insulted. Now, is that sound right advice, and how do you feel about that?
It is to a point. You know, it. First of all, it is a lot of happenstance. It's meeting. You know, it helps to get out and meet people and make contacts. Absolutely, 100%. In terms of asking people, you know, for example, if you ask, say, Michael Whitehorn, you know, if, let's say, you know, would you take my idea and would you develop it with me? You
right
know, why would he want to do that? You just look at a logistic point. Michael Whitehorn's capable of coming up with millions of his own ideas that he doesn't have to then, you know, split the deal with and hold hands and explain things to some young guys that are trying to come up. You know what I mean? Unless he met you and liked you. You know what I mean?
No, right.
So to cold call people, the answer is probably going to be, you know, thanks but no thanks.
Right.
If any
at all.
Right. Right.
But you never, you know, it depends on what your goal is. That's what I always ask people. What is it exactly that you want to do? Do you want to be on a writing staff? Are you trying to create your own show? Are you trying to write features? You know, every path is different, you know, how you would approach getting in. Like, for people who want to be on a staff, the best way to do it is maybe have your original piece, but I would write a spec pilot that based on a show that's pretty hot right now, and show them that you can write for other people. You know, show them, because nobody knows your character's voices on the page. They don't know, that wouldn't answer whether you can write on my show with my characters. So what you want to show people is, hey, here's a script, here's a Modern Family, everybody knows the characters on Modern Family, here's my version of a clever story and written in each character's voice. I can read that and go, these guys know what they're doing, or they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So I think that's really the calling card for a staff job.
Yeah. Now, what if you wanted to create your own show or do features, like you said? Is there tips for that? And the reason I ask these questions is I just got out of college. Steve just got out of college. And I know a lot of people at our college listen to these shows. So they're all going to be very curious.
Sure. You know, features is a different world. To write your own show, that's tough because you have all these high-level writers, the guys that have created shows, creating new shows. So you have somebody who's been to the dance a million times creating shows, and then you've got somebody who's never been to the dance creating shows. You know, chances are they're going to go with the experienced people, especially a lot of them, you know, at least in years gone by, they would have them on development deal. So they've already paid them. You know what I mean? Studios may have paid, or networks may have paid, you know, 10 writers $1 million or $2 million a year to write pilots. And then you have your idea. Well, they're going to probably go where they've already spent their money instead of spending more money. You know what
Correct.
I mean?
Correct.
So it's a little bit of a dicey game. And, you know, it's easier to create shows when you're in the game than to make that your entry into the game. Again, there's no rules. Anything is possible.
Well, do you believe in filming shorts and things like that for pilots now, if you had the resources, if you could do it? Because my only fear is I've seen shows like yesterday we had on Josh Molina, and he filmed Backwash as a web series, and he had on Michael Ian Black, and he had on all these stars, and it didn't get picked up. And, like, you know, there's certain shows that just, you know, a lot of even very talented people. Craig Bierko did a web series. Ileana Douglas did a web series. And they don't get
right.
picked up. So is that, like, a very big risk then to do something like that? Or could it work?
It could definitely work, and it has worked for some people. You know, again, it's luck. You know, I think the main thing I would tell people is the odds of creating a hit show are so long. You know, I think somebody said the odds of having a hit sitcom, at least back when King of Queens was on the air, was like 300 to 1. In going from pitching the ideas, the amount of ideas that were pitched, to the ideas that were bought, to then those scripts came in, and then of the 100 scripts, they make 18 of them, you know what I mean, or whatever the numbers are.
Yeah.
It's really, really a long shot to get a show on television. So you have to know that going in. You can have great product. There's a lot of great scripts that never get shot. There's a lot of great shows that get shot, but for whatever reason, marketing-wise, didn't fit in with the network's, you know, marketing strategy. You know, all shows, when you shoot a pilot, it goes to the marketing department, and they go out to advertisers and say, is this a show you might be interested in advertising in? You know? And if it's a network that's geared towards women and the show happens to be very edgy and not female friendly, they may, even though it's hilarious, they might not pick it up.
Right. Now I do want to give all our fans an update real quick.
Sure.
Mike Turzo just walked into the room. He just took a huge dump, I'm assuming, because he's sweating bullets. A Polish sausage, a hot dog on a pretzel bun, and a burger. You okay for the rest of the night? You good? Oh, and a large fry. Okay. Making sure you're all right.
There's our food update for you, Rock.
Thank you.
Yeah, and our shit update. So you're covered for tonight, Rock.
In case you had questions.
Like Rock follows the show. He's like, Thurzo who? That's all right. Okay. Well, Rock, let's go to something fun real quick. You got Here Comes the Boom coming out. How is it? This is going to be random, but how is it working with Henry Winkler?
Awesome.
I'm a big
one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. He is just such a great guy. He's a guy, too, when you talk about networking, like if you said, hey, Henry, could you make a phone call for me? He would make a phone call. He would give you the shirt off his back. So you got to meet Henry.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, you're right. I do got to meet Henry. He's supposedly the nicest guy. I've asked him to do the show like 55 times. He blows me off.
That bastard.
That yeah, that bastard. Bastard Winkler.
Oh, man.
Yeah, don't fuck with the fans. That's right.
He'll beat me up. I guarantee you.
I love Winkler. He was great in Click with Sandler. He plays Sandler's dad, and he's fantastic.
And in The Waterboy.
No, he's great. I love Henry Winkler. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, he's got a really big part in this movie, and he's awesome. He's just, he just kills it.
I think UFC is ripe for comedy. I think this is a decent idea here. That Here Comes the Boom. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think you could.
Yeah, it's like kind of like, you know, parts are comedy and then parts of it are serious. You know, we don't want it to be like Kevin running around with doing the belly snuffer on people. You know,
right.
But it's dramatic, but yet there's a lot of comedy in it. And the awesome Kevin, you know, Kevin lost, I guess, about 80 pounds for this movie.
Yeah,
worked out, trained martial arts. He's going to really blow people away with, you know, what he can do physically, I think, in this movie.
So it's not Paul Blart in the cage is what you're trying to tell me.
It's not. There was some versions of that kicked around, but. You know, UFC is kind enough to let us in the game and use their stuff and their name and all the UFC players. So we kept it real.
Well, let Kevin know his master plan worked because you guys sold me with Salma Hayek in the movie. I'm their opening night, unfortunately. Now you guys wrote me in with the Hayek.
Yes. A little now, bait on the hook. You got to.
She's something else.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, Rock, I understand that Adam Sandler and Kevin James play some b-ball on occasion. Do you get on those games?
You know, I used to play, when I did The Road, I would go every city, I would play basketball, but I ground my knees into powder somewhere along the way.
Oh. You sound like me with bad knees.
Yeah, sucks. But,
I don't know. We've had a couple of Sandler friends on, and I know he's hardcore into basketball. If I ever played him, I'd last 1 minute, a minute and a half. I can't do
it. Well, there's on the Sony lot, there's a basketball court, and I think they renamed it Adam Sandler Stadium or something like that.
Nice.
Because it's his guys. They would just go over during lunch and play some pretty hardcore, you know, full court 5-on-5 action.
Wow.
Adam Sandler Stadium. Calm down, Adam. Put the pin in that grenade. Put it back in.
Because, see, out there, we'd be at Philly's Best for lunch. We wouldn't be playing basketball.
Have you had the Philly's Best in Burbank, Rock? It's fantastic.
Absolutely. They just opened one in Encino by my house, and I haven't been there yet. I was away for 3 months doing this movie, so I'm going to go tear it up one of these days.
Rock Rubin, we're moving out to L.A. in like 4 months. You going to go to a Philly's Best with us? I can hit you up. We'll have a cheesesteak.
I could do that. I'll even pay for it. How about that?
I am as broke as it gets, but I will pay for Rock Rubin's cheesesteak. And I'll take a picture of it, and I'll have you autograph the cheesesteak, too, and then some permanent mark. I don't know if it tastes good then, but you know what you should do? Rock should come sit in on a show, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have
guests. Are you going to do the show from L.A.?
Yeah, we're going to do it from L.A. You should come sit in.
I'll come sit in, absolutely.
Yeah, from our penthouse in Koreatown. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's the house with the bars on the window rack. No, I don't know. We haven't gotten it yet.
I'm
but
familiar
yeah,
with it.
We're going out there December 1st, so we'd really like to have you on. It'd be great. You're a great guy, man.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, that's good. So are you guys going to do stand-up out here as well?
I probably will do some stand-up as well out there. I have to get my feet wet a little bit out there first. But, yeah, that is the plan. You know, I do this show pretty full-time, though, lately. I haven't had as much time as I'd like for stand-up the last month. I've only been out twice in the last month. But because I've been doing, like, 3-4 shows a week. it's been quite the hustle and grind right now. But I am looking forward to doing it. Yeah, I mean, I love stand-up. The only thing that bothers me, Rock, and you were a stand-up comedian, is the community can be pretty negative. There's a lot of insecurity and negativity, and I'm a pretty positive dude. So yeah. It's kind of hard sometimes for me to jive with all that, but I love how this turned into a 70s Afro show.
Yeah. I'm Isaac Hayes, everybody.
It's funny because when I started in Long Island, it was a different kind of thing. It was like, once you were serious about being a stand-up, everybody kind of would help you out, and the older comics would, make some phone calls for you. We would do joke writing. We'd go to this one comedy club, and any writer that could come, we'd work on bits together, and it was a good place for me to start. And then I came out to L.A., and you'd kind of go, hey, you should say this, and, what do you think about that? And people would just stare at you like, are you kidding me?
It's all competition now, Rock. But I will tell you, I have met one really great comedian who's really helpful, and that's Jimmy Pardo. He's fantastic.
He's great. Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Great guy. From Chicago, though, so maybe he takes a little pity on me.
Vince Vaughn? Have you reached out to the Vince Vaughn camp?
I'm a little I'd love to have Vince Vaughn on. I don't think Vince is going to do the show. This show may be small beans for Vince. We reached out to Kevin, and I want to have Kevin James on because he's like Kevin James and Adam Sandler. Those are like my idols, as Steve knows.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And Kevin's people are like, yeah, well, maybe. We'll see what we can do. We'll pass it on to him. I'm like, yeah, sure you will. I am convinced publicists are hired just to say no. They're not hired.
Kevin just circumnavigated the world.
I know.
About 8 million interviews, TV shows. So it's not that he doesn't do them. He does them. It's just at a certain point, there's only so many hours in a day, and
I
you get tired of hearing yourself talk after a while.
He missed Downers Grove, Illinois. But I got to tell you, Rock, you got to admit, is this show a little different? It's not your typical interview show, I don't think.
Not at all. It's
more of a conversation.
First of all, you guys are prepared, which is nice.
Oh wow. You're telling me people aren't prepared, Rock? Is that what I'm hearing?
Sometimes. I used to do the morning zoos all the time, and they weren't prepared. They just had their little noisemakers.
We even lost power, and we were prepared. Wow.
Oh, my God. We were on the move because I'm like, this is Rock fucking Rubin. We got to go.
It's best a short and stout guy like me can move.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're in the basement. It's pitch black, Rock. We're tripping over wires. We're unplugging things. I hit my head on the table. I'm like all for Rock Rubin.
Thank you, guys, and I'm sorry I was late. I swear I thought it was 9 o'clock because we were editing until 7.
No, fine. I just thought it was the worst day ever. I'm like, and now Rock is something happened to Rock because of course Rock wouldn't forget about us. He was in some kind of car wreck or something, I'm sure, or an asteroid hit L.A. and I didn't know about it. Hey, how about Carmageddon this weekend, Rock? You ready for that?
Looking forward to it.
Oh, are you flying out of town, or are you sticking around?
No. I'm hunkering down. I will eat watermelon and wait for Monday.
You may want to get more than one watermelon. It's going to be a long day. No, but I kind of feel like this show, you get together, you have a few drinks, and you hang out. That's what we do over here. We're not so interviewee. I see Lenny's telling me I'm jerking myself off right now. That's lovely, Lenny. That's really appropriate for radio, Len. God, see, this is what happens when you bring your friends on all your projects, though, Rock. This is where Sandler and Kevin James, you guys are fine, because you guys have classy friends. My friends are assholes.
They keep you on your toes.
Oh, they keep me on my toes? Yeah. Yeah, they keep me running. What to do.
Yeah.
No, but Rock, we'd love to have you sit in. Zookeeper's the film. You have to see it. It's playing in theaters now. $20 million opening. Kevin James can open a movie.
Oh, he can.
He can open a movie. Sly Stallone, Cher, Don Rickles, Rosario Dawson's in it. Gary Valentine's in it. And Gary's going to be on next month, I believe.
Can't wait.
Nick Nolte's in it.
Nick Nolte.
That's one of my heroes, Nick Nolte. I love him. He's great.
He's cool. Yeah, everybody was great. And there's a Chicago comic named Mike Burton in it. I don't know if you know him at all.
I do not, but good for him.
Yeah. Kudos to him.
He obviously beat me out at the auditions that I didn't go to.
It was close, though.
It was real close. It was between Mike Burton and the fat guy. They're like, we already got Kevin James. But now that Kevin's lost weight, my competition is thinning.
No pun intended.
Well, like he always says, he goes, I lost weight, but it'll come back. I'm like,
he'll find it.
He still has the big head, though, so he's going to have that.
Yeah, going. Rock, what is it with fat people when you're not fat, but when I'm fat? So when I lose weight, I have like a bobblehead. Because you don't lose weight in the head.
No, you still always have a fat
head.
Yeah.
Kevin, I guess he does have a big-ish head, but he can look bad but he's already gained back some weight from what he sucked down to.
Look at season 5 of KOQ where he lost all his weight, and he was literally, he had a bobblehead. He was wearing the track suits in every episode.
Acid wash pants.
And the UFC shirt.
Yeah.
God, I know way too much about King of Queens.
or not enough.
Would you not do that to my MacBook Pro? That is a $2,000 computer. Oh, you got one too. Yeah, you're fucking loaded. I don't got you. Look, this computer is my life.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like with Rock.
Classy move, by the way.
What's up, Rock?
A MacBook Pro, that's the choice of writers in Hollywood.
That's right.
I hear Steve Jobs just hands them out when you like driving to L.A. He just gives them away. And
all right.
Pretty much.
I got Caesar's asking the stupidest question, and Luisi's making me ask you it. Why?
Ask it.
All right, this question's stupid, Rock. Ask him what it is like to be part of an opening weekend for a big movie like Zookeeper.
Oh, God.
Oh, what did you do, Rock?
Yeah.
Did you throw a little?
Well, we didn't do much. We smoke cigars and you wait for numbers to come in.
Yeah.
It was a little less than had been hoped. We were kind of hoping for a little bit more. And then the numbers came in and we said, all right, let's go to bed. That's it. See you tomorrow.
No party hits or anything like that?
Yeah.
No party poppers?
That's what Lenny and I do when I wait for my show's ratings. We smoke a cigar and we sit around eating watermelon. And then we go, okay, that happened. Let's go to bed.
Wow.
Oh,
well, you know, there's different rituals, but, you know, it's funny. I have all these people. I've been here since 1998, and I believe I've been to one Hollywood party in 13 years.
You sound like me, Rock.
Well, Rock, you can come by our pad. It won't be a Hollywood party. It's totally the anti-Hollywood party. It's the people they won't let in the Hollywood.
Right. Oh, ain't that the truth.
Yeah, Rock, is it true that writers don't get invited to parties anyways? They just all throw you guys in the basement with a punch bowl?
Pretty much. We are one of the most abused subculture in the United States. Our story has yet to be told.
Oh, God. I'm sounding like Mort Goldman here. You're making me sad. Oh, God. And they put me in the basement and gave me punch. Oh, this is terrible.
You can work as a writer in this town. You're so lucky. It is the most fun job.
Well, what did you do, Rock, when you moved there? What happened when you moved there? Were you already set up with KOQ, or did you have to get kind of a bum job for a while?
I came out here a few times for pilot season more in front of the camera for the years before King of Queens. And I auditioned for everything and anything. And then when the show came, Kevin brought me out. But you never know when a show goes on the air. A lot of these shows, it's three shows and out. So I kind of moved onto his couch. He and his brother had an apartment. I slept on the floor. And that was about 6 months of that until the show finally got picked up for a year. Then they made me get my own place. But
I do have to ask Gary Valentine when he's on next month if he hangs out with Frank Stallone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I need to know.
Yeah.
Oh, James Belushi is a good friend of his. three of Bill Murray's brothers are good friends.
Joel Murray, Brian Doyle. Do they all hang out together?
They all hang out. Every Tuesday, Nick Turturro is with them. get together and talk about what should have been.
That's a good stand-up bit. That's the funniest thing ever.
Priceless. Oh, my God.
I'm just imagining Nick Turturro partying. That's all that's making me laugh right now.
He is the funniest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, let's go. Let's smoke some cigars or do something.
Wow, that impression's dead on, too. I thought Nick Turturro was on the phone.
He might be.
Well, we were talking NYPD Blue the other day. My dad's like, my dad doesn't know who John Turturro is, but he knows who Nick Turturro is. That's the funniest. My dad's like, John Turturro, you mean the guy from the Blue Show?
The Blue Show.
It was in New Jersey. I go, you know, you mean New York, NYPD Blue? He goes, great fucking show with that Denny Franz.
Yeah, close enough.
He goes, I remember John Turturro now. I go, that's not John Turturro, Dad. I go, he's from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He goes, I don't watch that crap. I'm like the
Nick actually lives around the corner from me, and so we do. We'll have an occasional cigar, hang out a little bit. He's a good guy, too. You should get him on your show.
I'd love to get Nick on the show. I can talk Yankees with him for like an hour.
Oh, he don't get him going. He gives blood pressure. Are you kidding me? They fucking have these guys. They bought. They criticizing them, and these guys are winning championships.
Pretty good.
Oh, whenever I need a Nick
Turturro. What are you gonna do?
Here's our Nick Turturro soundbite right here.
Oh, that's great, Rock. You're the best, man. We'll have you on when we're out in L.A. You can come over.
Absolutely, I'll come as Nick Turturro.
Yeah.
What do you? Is there any good pizza in L.A. for the love of God, Rock?
Good question.
No.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we're
there. What do you call your sausages there in Chicago?
Yeah,
hell
sausage.
Yeah.
There's no sausage. All right. I've
no
lived
sausage.
On LA before. There's no sausage. There's no beef. And there's no pizza. You're fucked.
Oh, okay.
No pie.
No wonder all you people are fit. What do you fucking eat? Yikes.
Well, I want to know what Kevin James is eating then.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to eat what he's eating now. He has not had meat. Chicken or fish in a year.
Oh, my
what?
God. I'd kill myself.
I'd gnaw my arm off. Good God.
I have to leave. I'm surprised he hasn't gnawed his arm off. I've seen his food.
Well, thank you so much, Rock. Everyone check out The Zookeeper in theaters now. And then Here Comes the Boom. When's that coming out?
I don't know if there's a date for that yet. Next summer,
probably a tentpole, I'd imagine. It's
we'll
good.
See, you know?
Yeah.
We're just starting to edit it now, and it looks pretty good, so we'll see what Sony thinks.
Rock, don't get too big for us little people, us commoners.
I will not.
You're the best, man. We'll have you on again when we're out in L.A. We can't wait to meet you. You're a good man.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rock.
Thanks, Rock.
Bye.
Okay, we got 16 minutes left. Rock Rubin, finally. I know what you're playing. You're playing all my fucking bullshit. Oh, is that the Pat one? Oh, yeah, wait, hold on.
Oh,
hold on, hold on, I got that.
Hold on.
Hi, I'm adult film star Jenna Hayes, and you're listening to the Matthew Aaron Show. Caesar, what do you do?
You heard
what's
it first.
Up? No, yeah, it's chewed up. You want to go put Lenny on for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Steve had his fun. He's got to clean his mouth off anyways because he's got a Rock Rubin juice all over it. Hey, like I was any better. What's up, Len? Andrew Blumenthal, what are we going to do? Yeah, all right, you're on.
Okay, just want to make sure.
What are we going to do about the Blumenthal?
Sarasota, Florida, you're on.
Yeah. Sarasota, Florida.
You're on Love Chat with Lenny.
Love Chat with Lenny.
Love Chat with Lenny.
Yeah, that show's going to last a day.
Well, you're a freaking scumbag.
So what are we going to do about this Blumenthal? You going to write some questions for me?
Yeah, I got some questions.
Does that mean I got to pretend to write some?
You know, the next war will probably be a cyber war. It sounds.
We've been saying that, though, for like 8 years.
But you understand, like someone like this in the State Department, you really have to monitor this type of shit. So, I mean, him... He's written a lot of papers, I guess, on IT. He was the CIO at a company previous to his position at the State Department. I'd like to know, did he ever see himself really ascending to this level? And what does he want to do with the State Department? And all the budget cutbacks that are going to be happening now. Obama walked out of the deficit talks now.
Sure.
So, well, the State Department and the Treasury Department are actually
How do you feel about the deficit?
Well, first I'll say the State Department and the Treasury Department are actually the first two departments of the United States government. Do you know who the first Secretary of the Treasury was?
No, I was falling asleep, actually.
Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, fuck.
Do you know who the first Secretary of State was?
You know
I
what?
Don't think it was Thomas.
You know
Jefferson.
What, Lenny?
No.
I didn't learn that in my Russian history class.
No, you would learn that a Russian revolution is a revolution in Russia.
I'll be right back. I got to go make me a beverage.
You're going to go make yourself a beverage?
Talk to the people, Lenny. You're by yourself.
Go.
No dead air, Len.
So I'm going to be talking to myself.
Let Len talk to himself.
from Luisi Studios in the lovely town of Downers Grove. So I'm talking to myself. Mike, would you get on or something? Because your lovely host is more worried about grabbing a cocktail as if he hasn't had seven of them already. Look, you hear all that in the background? Oh, hold on. Let me act like I'm Mike Matt Aaron.
Oh, my God, I'm doing a radio show. Please be quiet.
The Bears.
So, Mike, how was your day?
It was very good. I got to go see Banana Hands this week.
What's Banana Hands?
You've never seen Shallow Hal, Banana Hands, Tony Robbins?
Oh, why? Were you looking for encouragement?
Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Banana Hands.
He went to go see Banana Hands.
I know. I'm going to see Banana Hands. Get this. You sign up for the Unleash the Power Within Tour. Whatever. Work wanted me to do it. Just get this.
And he's unleashing a lot within you.
I'm going to unleash a little power for him when I see him, let me tell you. So I do the whole Saturday. I forgot to leave out one detail. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 15 hours a day.
And all he's going to do is fucking talk?
Yeah.
And you're going to listen?
Well, actually, on Thursday, we're supposed to walk on hot coals.
Oh, it's one of these little seminars.
Oh, yeah. Unleash the Power Within.
How much is work paying for this?
$500.
Per person?
Yes.
For 4 days. I'm sure there's going to be... Can't go to Gibson's on that.
Oh, did I give you the good news?
Please. You're pregnant?
We'll talk about that later, huh?
Okay.
All right. I am now considered the cigar man.
Oh.
So when I go to Gibson's, I get my bill. It says cigar man on the top, and there's a little 40% off at the bottom.
Would you look at that? Because he's industry. Yeah, he's on the Matthew Aaron show.
First
of all, you shouldn't be talking because porn stars and strippers had those in their ears.
Get out of my chair. No, they didn't.
All weekend, yes.
Caesar, what do you do?
You know, it's like a couple of fucking bulls and bears running around here.
Which your ace.
Alex, you need a bigger kitchen table here.
Actually, no one's getting hammered because Lenny refuses to drink on the weekdays and Tarzo ain't drinking.
See, I actually have to wake up at a reasonable hour. Sending random texts
so
at 3 a.m.
So do I. Who does that? You do. What did I say last night at 3 a.m.?
I don't know. Probably I appreciate what you do. Have you ever
lowered expectations?
Where's that from?
Mad TV.
That's it.
I am Will Sasso. You might remember me from Xanax commercial.
Have you ever sent Caesar like one of those thank you texts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I am way nicer to Caesar than you people think.
No, because at the convention this weekend, Caesar was like, you says, oh, thank everyone for coming out, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Caesar, for all you do. Caesar's like, well, there's a first for everything, isn't
there?
No,
it? Tell him to go fuck himself.
Hey, this is Inari Vox with IG Entertainment and XXXInari.com. Check me out on my latest release, Harder, by Skinworks and Adam and Eve. You're listening to my favorite podcast, The Matthew Aaron Show. And hey, Lenny, give it up. You're not coming.
I enjoyed that.
You're not Tony Soprano. Oh.
I got to find out who she is, and then she could see me face to face. And then she
can. You know what my favorite bumper is?
What?
Hey, guys, this is Bridget B., your Spanish doll, and you're listening to the Matthew Aaron Show. Matt, you always turn me on when I hear your voice. Mwah.
You know, every time, the last couple of days that you've been doing this show, Monday, Tuesday, all you keep talking about is this convention. You're kind of starting to sound like a sex-crazed teenager. Because all you keep talking about is this porn.
You know what?
I stopped. It was a couple of days ago. We moved on.
I remember when I had to roll up your tongue and put it back in your mouth on Saturday, so calm down.
You're doing me a favor. I understand it. But what are we going to do this week?
Your tongue was a slip and slide. Oh, we're not going to be able to top it for a year. You know when we'll be able to top it? When you come out to L.A. in December, and I'll invite some of the romantic film actresses to come hang out with us for the weekend.
Have any of them ever accepted your Facebook?
Yes, all of them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You ain't no Bridget B., though, because you don't know her real name like I do.
Not Bridget B.
Oh, you do want to know Bridget B. What is with these guys who keep telling me Bridget B. had too big a boobs? You know you guys are gay, right?
Okay, did you want to talk to about something of some substance? I mean, you really are starting to sound like a sex-crazed maniac.
You know what?
No, it's getting kind of weird now.
Lane didn't want to talk about it because he knows if we talk about Bridget B.'s boobs being too big, then we got to talk about his boobs being too big.
No, they're not.
They're not 36 G's.
They're supple.
36 G's? Hey, do you have headphones on that motherfucking computer? People can hear that shit. Jesus.
So Christ. Obama walked out of the deficit talks?
Yeah.
Weren't they at the White House?
He left
so, yeah, how do you kind of walk?
I love how he doesn't kick everyone out.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this, I'm going outside, grab a smoke.
No, but it's funny. It's funny because it's like if all you fuckers were at my house, then I'm like, fuck all of you. And I walked out of my house.
Yeah.
No, I walked out of my house.
Yeah.
I'm like, see you guys later, asshole.
Wait
just a second.
Wait, yeah, you're staying outside, you're walking, they're like, where's he going? Secret Service is running to catch up. He's like, I'm done with it. Where are you going? Yeah, he goes out to the gazebo. He goes out to the Rose Garden.
Yeah, and this asshole Lenny's sitting out there with him. Oh. You can
build a gazebo, I guarantee it.
Caesar, the only way I'm going to Comic-Con is if we have a table. I'm not going to just walk around talking to people, and Lenny's not going to go because there's no porn stars there.
So I just read this on Facebook, and I've heard
this. Oh, what did you fucking read on Facebook?
In the 80s, we had Reagan in office.
Oh, fuck.
We also had Bob Hope and Johnny Cash. Now we have Obama in office, and we have no hope and no cash.
Oh, Billy Bob should enjoy
wait,
that. Have you ever read stuff
by
on
the
Billy
way,
Bob's wall?
Yes.
He's very into...
You're friends with Billy Bob?
No, I'm not friends with him.
Then how'd you read stuff on his wall?
His wall is public.
He's crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know he's nuts, right?
I was reading through it.
He's Ann Coulter.
No, I wouldn't say he's nuts, but he's very passionate. But No.
That's the most political thing I ever heard.
He would be one of the worst leaders in this country because he...
He considers himself a leader.
Well, he's not because one of the traits, qualities of a leader is someone who's willing to compromise and recognize their own flaws. He's obviously not prepared to do that.
Yeah, he's not.
Because some of the postings, he's like, because I'm so passionate because I know I'm right. No, you're
all I
half
know
right.
is that I make
and the other side is half right. It's how you guys...
All I know is I make a strong drink and all I care about is those 36 G's.
You are a sex-crazed child.
No, you're just jealous because you weren't feeling up boobies and touching asses on Saturday. I was massaging butts.
I don't need to make up a radio show to do such things.
No one would give you a radio show to do such things.
No one gave you one. That's why
iTunes.
We made it up.
I'm hired by Steve Jobs.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hired to watch you buy him. I think we just both got fired.
Tomorrow night we should talk a little politics.
Who's on tomorrow night?
Sam Levine from Inglourious Basterds and Freaks and Geeks. You know who he is. You'll know him if you saw him. I'll show you Sam Levine. I love how I have guests on and people are like, oh, just doing a little television show here. Who?
Wow.
Sam Levine is in such things as Not Another Teen Movie, Inglourious Bastards.
Who do you play in Inglourious Bastards?
He's one of the ones that they make the bombs, you know? He was Hirschberg, the Jew.
Ah. The bear Jew?
No.
No.
That was Eli Roth,
okay.
The other Jew. They make the bomb in the movie theater, and they're sitting there with the bomb. Okay.
Played Italians?
Yes, he was also in Sydney White with Amanda Bynes.
She's cute.
He's been Family Guy.
She's retired
because she didn't like people talking about how she liked black dudes. She wanted her life to be more private, and she said she was getting a lot of shit from people that she was into black dudes, so she retired.
Is that a true story?
Yes.
Not cute
Is that a true story?
Yes, it's a true story. I'm not making it up.
Why would you make that up?
No,
every time I say black dudes... Lenny thinks I'm making up the story.
No. It's like...
And by the way, Sam Levine was on an episode of That's So Raven, by the way. Just so you know.
Who cares?
That's So Raven, by the way.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because she was a cute girl.
So basically, if you ever need a like...
Oh, she's 24? Okay.
If you ever need a good-looking... If you ever need a good-looking Lee Capreas who's actually a Jew, you call Sam Levine, who's our guest tomorrow. He's like a good-looking Lee and actually a Jew. That's the way it is. Thought I'd share.
He's got all the Jew qualities.
Lee does have all the Jew qualities, which they're all good, of course. They're all great qualities because I am studying to become Jewish, a reformed Jew.
So you bought the Jew for Dummies book?
Not until I'm in L.A. Quiet down. When I'm in L.A., I'm going to be a reformed Jew.
He's converting for the jokes.
I'm not converting for the jokes. I'm converting for the money.
I hope.
I hope AI Pack finds you and just sues the fuck out of you.
What? You know, my girl out in L.A. is a reformed Jew, too.
Is there any ethnicity on this show that
is safe? No.
All of us have. Yeah, there's nothing.
That's have we hit every ethnicity? So
we've covered them all.
We probably have.
We've covered them all.
What are you pointing at? Is there something good going on?
Obviously not.
No, nothing good.
Look, you were jerking off.
Oh, Jesus. Can we just play a song and get out of here for tonight? I've had enough of tonight.
Did you explain to everyone how rough setting up the show was?
You always bring up stuff that happens in the first 30 minutes.
Because I don't pay attention to you. By the way, your neighbors might think you have a stalker. Yeah, Terza was bouncing around your house outside trying to get in because he locked in.
Bouncing around?
Yeah, I'm sure he's prancing around like a unicorn. But, no, I'm sure he's like looking in windows, going around your house, so your neighbors probably thought someone was trying to break in.
If any of the females on my block are on a milk carton next week, I'm coming for you, Terzo. Speaking of milk cartons, did anyone tell Terzo the joke from yesterday's show?
Oh, I forgot, no. But you said it at like 10:15.
Oh, God.
I got to go outside to have a smoke.
Wait, say it, though.
I said the last time Terzo seen his dick was on a milk carton. It's been missing since 1998. No, I don't have a microscope. I don't got a magnifying glass for that micro machine.
Is that a pit bull?
Oh, this show's just turned into pure garbage. Steve, you can turn this all down. I'm going to play the Margie song, and we're going to check out.
We've seen a dog, and we got
Sam Levine tomorrow night. Thank you. I'll be here tomorrow night with Lenny and I think Lee.
And Alex Luisi.
And turn it to Annie Alex Luisi, as always.
Margie, girl, my heart's in a whirl tonight. I need you bad, oh, Margie. I need you so, oh, Margie. For we met, nothing in my life was right. About all that changed with Margie. Blown me away, oh Margie. Remember when we met between math and Spanish? You were old woman. Now what was I? Well, let me tell you what I was. I was mannish.
You were never looking finer than the night we went to.